years would not have carried water in those particular locations. So when Jesus says to his disciples, go into the city, and when you see a man carrying water, follow him home, that's an intriguing possibility that that was an Essene, and maybe the Last Supper with its similarities actually happened in an Essene setting. Now, my point tonight is not going to be based on that, because not everyone agrees with that 100%, but I want to show you who these people were, what these people were, and show you that I think in some ways they were being distinctly faithful to God in a way that we ought to seek out ourselves. They also taught about the works of the law. One of the scrolls is called Maaseh HaTorah, which means the works of the law, something that Paul talks about in the book of Galatians. So you can see some intriguing ways that God is creating an environment out of which Christianity is going to come. I do not happen to believe these were the original Christians. I think some of them probably did become Christians. That's my opinion. But God is creating a setting into which Jesus is going to come. Now, let me just single out three or four things that I think can challenge us from this desert community. Each one, to me, even more striking than the one before. One of the things that's intriguing about them is their use of water. In the temple in Jerusalem, there was a sea, a bronze basin. We call it the Bronze Sea, that was used by the priests for washing. Now, whether for that reason or others, I think it was probably connected with that. They also practiced a ritual washing, which gradually became the practice for most Jewish people. Whether it was due to their influence or not, you could argue. But it demanded living water. Now, living water is water that flows under its own power to wherever you're going to use it. You can't carry it. If you carry it in a bucket or in a jar on your head, it's no longer living water. It doesn't have to be clean, doesn't have to be nice looking, but it has to get there under its own power. So they said our ritual washing has to be of living water. Now, you don't go too far away and you can find living water, but it's about 20 miles or so, a little bit farther than that. There's an oasis called En Gedi. I'm sure some of you have been there. And that's pretty spectacular. But there's no way you're going to get En Gedi water up to Qumran because it's lower already where it starts. So they did an imaginative thing. Behind their settlement, behind their study center, is this wadi. Now, if you remember last week, a wadi is a riverbed that only has water in it when it rains. This one floods occasionally. It didn't flood the ruins. It ran down the canyon next to the ruins. So they ingeniously built a dam up above in that wadi. Now, you can see a little bit of the dam. Oops, let me back up one. I went one too many. You can see a part of the dam yet right here. Originally enclosed an entire area, so the water would fall over that hill, over that cliff in the wadi. It would form a pool, and then they built a series of channels along the cliff, actually through tunnels two different times, down a long channel. You can see the two walls of it, of what remain. A lot of it is gone, of course. And then into the ruin, and eventually into reservoirs and storage places. From there, they ran it into the ritual baths themselves. Now, in their practice, the ritual baths, the bathing places, were called mikvah. Say mikvah. They didn't use them to clean their body. The idea was a washing. The idea was they would go down into the mikvah, take living water, and seek God's forgiveness for the sins that had led them to be impure, and then to dedicate themselves to pure living. More like a convert's baptism, if that's what you practice in your fellowship, than infant baptism. It wasn't considered to be a covenant thing. It was considered to be a confession and a commitment to faithfulness. Now, as I've looked at their writings, it's intriguing. They see that cleansing and that commitment involving their heads, their thoughts, their hearts, their will, their decisions, their works, the things they did, and their walk, that is, their pattern of behavior. And so that water of washing washed away the sins of head, heart, hands, and feet, and also allowed them to rededicate themselves to serving God with their head, their heart, their hands, and their feet. A little bit like Jesus talked about how sin can come into your mind through your eye and then eventually lead your hand and your foot into sin. These people believed that sin involved the